Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, America and around the world. The SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio presents Larry and Cheryl Batson discovering our wild world and the music of the SRI Label Group. It's time for animal tracks, wildlife conversation, and great music. Join us and enjoy Larry Batson's Wild World Animal Tracks.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson with my beautiful wife, Cheryl. Say hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I want to remind everyone, Animal Tracks, a division of Wild World, is brought to you by SRI Records. SRI Records, our CEO, the coolest man in music, Shelley Leibowitz, who has a catalog of absolutely amazing music that you can download. Check this out. You can download and listen to the entire songs. That's what's so cool about it. The SRIRecords.com. Country, rock, jazz, blues, it's all there. Go to that website, SRIRecords.com. And from their catalog, Here I Am, Barium Sunset, right here on Blog Talk.
Here I am. It's the only thing you should know, that I'm here.
Hi everyone, this is Shelley Leibowitz and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, little Barium Sunset, here I am. Who wrote the lyrics to that, Cheryl?
I'm not sure, but if you were to dance to that song,
yes,
you lose 5 pounds. That would be an exercise ditty.
Isn't that used for a commercial or something?
I don't know, but it could be.
Or is there, I don't know. Want to remind everyone, tonight we've got a very exciting show. Our guest is going to be Alexandra Holzer Lawson. Her father, and Cheryl's already creeped out about this, Hans Holzer, who was basically the man who put together the movie and the book, The Amityville Horror.
Spit it out there, dude.
I couldn't say it. Have you ever sat through that movie?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my gosh.
I still see houses with that same formation of windows and think, ooh, Amityville Horror House.
What I saw of it, I didn't make it through the whole film, was basically through my fingers. It just played, creeped me out.
Don't you like that stuff? You like to be scared.
I do like to be scared.
You used to scare your brothers.
I did. I could transform into the Wolfman while we were in bed, and they would scream for my parents because they thought their brother was actually changing, like Lon Chaney in the 1942 classic. Is that amazing? I remember the year, the Wolfman. I love those movies.
I know.
And you remember who the host is, who hosted all those movies?
Sammy Terry.
Sammy Terry. He has a show on Facebook. Well, not the original, because he's passed on to the Cemetery in the Sky.
You were on Sammy Terry.
I was on Sammy Terry.
As Wolfman.
As the Wolfman.
Cooking.
Yeah, we had a big walk, and we were cooking snakes. Well,
and
we weren't
spiders.
Really. And spiders and stuff.
I don't like spiders.
This is Animal Tracks with your host Larry and Cheryl Batson, broadcasting from Clinton Falls, Indiana, brought to you by the SRI Label Group with an amazing catalog, which includes one of my favorite bands of the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Noon. And,
yeah,
oh, yeah, our good friend Sheila Walters Herring met Peter Noon.
Yeah.
That must have been a thrill.
She liked it.
She did love it. Here's Peter Noon, Herman's Hermits on Blog Talk Radio. Hermits. You know, a lot of people thought Peter Noon's real name was Hermit.
I bet.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was Peter Noon.
Well, yeah.
And he had a vast catalog, or they had a vast catalog of hits, big
kinda
hits.
Like Jethro Tull.
Kind of like Jethro Tull, same idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the
in the name part.
Yeah, in the name part. It's all part of the SRI label group and their amazing collection of music. As I mentioned earlier, I think Cheryl might remember this, is that I said that you can listen to the music without having to buy it.
That's so cool.
That's Shelley for you, though.
It is. And he just wants to know the music.
That's it. He has a true love of music, and it's a phenomenal. Speaking of true love of music, all the way from New England, the paranormal daughter, it is such a great privilege to welcome to our show Alexander Holzer Lawson on Animal Tracks. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
We're good. How are you? I'd like to introduce you, Alexander, to my wife, Cheryl.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi. Good, Cheryl. How are you?
It's her time of year.
Yeah.
You're very busy right now, aren't you?
It's like this every month. You know, Halloween is every day, so it's all good. Yeah.
All right. Right away, I go to your website. It's a mecca of ghost hunting. Oh, yeah. So here's what we want to know about. Cheryl wants to know about this as well. Ghost hunts with the Holzers. Now, you have to fill us in what that's all about.
Oh, with the hunt with Holzer? Yeah, basically, my husband and I had decided to come up with our own, not like a group or a team, because, you know, we like to talk to people from around, you know, the world, basically, wherever anybody's located, about their research, their interests, their questions, and so forth. And we wanted to kind of put a stamp on it, you know, continuing the Holzer name. And what we would do is tour small groups on locations and kind of educate them on the Holzer method and go through protocols of how to go about doing an investigation. And so that's why we created that. It's very intimate. It's nothing that, it's not like a tour or anything. We just wanted to do something a little bit different and intimate that had meaning to it, not just kind of take people on and say, oh, here's a location that's kind of supposedly haunted. Let's go in. So.
Yeah.
Well, and I neglected to say that Alexander's dad was Hans Holzer, of course, the Amityville Horror, which totally creeped me out on the movie. And the book was equally as creepy.
Yeah, we just actually saw that on Netflix. They have, was it Amazon or Netflix? I can't keep up anymore. They have, they carry Amityville to the Possession. And I think it was on Amazon. And I said, oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Do you remember that when all that was all coming down? Or did you not even care?
Not really. No, at that point, you know, I was still pretty young. But he never, you know, it was a case like any other case for him, you know. And I know that I had asked him, you know, years and years later as I got older and kind of to really figure out, okay, this is really, really happening. Like, you see the people in your home growing up thinking it's normal to walk into your living room with a witch and a warlock. Absolutely, why not? But, you know, but, yeah, you know, and I said, I said, you know, Daddy, I said, you know, this whole thing with Amityville, and, you know, as I've taken on the name and moved forward and became a writer and so forth, he says, you know, I said, how did you get into that? He goes, oh, you know, I find it out in the New York Times like everybody else. What do you want, you know? He's Austrian, so I do the best. I make him sound like Count Dracula. But, you know, but that's really how it started. And, you know, they contacted him, and anytime he was contacted, he would always choose a medium of his choice to bring with him that he felt would be the right fit, so to speak, you know. And they weren't supposed to know anything. They weren't supposed to be reading papers. And back then, he worked with a lot of different people, but the one woman he worked with was a very much older woman, Ethel Johnson Mayers, and she just wasn't like that, you know. She was pretty much secluded, and a lot of good mediums are like that in many ways because they're empathetic. They don't want to pick up on everything. And,
this is
during a different time, so in the 70s. So, but like any other case, you know, for him.
Go ahead.
So what do you think of the mediums they have on television? Do you watch those programs, Alexandra?
I don't. I think years and years ago, I really watched In Search Of, you know, and that's incredible. Things like that I had always enjoyed, and, you know, unsolved mysteries and things to that nature. But over the years, I think when the ghost hunting shows came out, Ghost Hunters was the first one that I really took notice to that I thought was really cool and interesting. I didn't really pay attention to anybody who was doing it. I just thought that the storytelling and the investigation said, oh, that's an interesting thing, you know. And but after that, I really, you know, I just didn't watch any of it just because I kind of grew up with it, not so much the way they portray it. Yeah, so I just, to me, it wasn't like, it's not a novelty. It was just like, yeah, okay, great. It's like watching a little scary movie, you know.
Yeah.
Do you feel you, obviously you have, you've got something because you find the ghost, I mean, following the ghost.
Right.
So you have something.
Yeah, you got something.
Well, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
I hope she knows. Do you know what I mean, Alexandra?
I hope so. I don't know. Well, you mean like the intuitive part?
Yeah, yeah. Like you have to feel.
Yeah, I mean a little. Yeah, there's a little bit something going on there, Cheryl. I think. Yeah, well, you know, we all have the ability. It's just a question of what souls in each path are awakened to it, and those that just lie dormant throughout their life until they pass.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Mean.
Yeah, you know, so it. Yeah, what's wrong with you, Larry?
But feels like feel. Things,
uh-huh.
You know, a spirit.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like if you walk into a place, and some places will make you feel uneasy and unwelcome,
yeah.
Versus other places are warm and inviting.
Yeah.
You know, there's energy, there's residual, and it's not to say there's a location or a home or, you know, woods or something that's it's got to be haunted. It just could be also residual energies from times past of those that were once in that. In that moment, you know. So we have to really be careful when we think something's creepy or we're feeling things. It takes a lot more than that. It takes a science to really break it down and a bazillion questions and, you know, research and effort to kind of pinpoint why. It just could just be, you know, the past. And so we pick up on a lot of different things. We're emotional beings to begin with, and I think a lot of people don't really connect with that. They just, you know, say, hey, okay. But nowadays, it's such a mix of everything. It really has become more socially accepted to say, okay, I have a ghost hunting group, or I'm a paranormal this, or there's so many different labels and terms. So I try to tend to stay away from that as much as possible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
So here's my question: when you first start an investigation and you walk in this house, and let's just say it's women and spirits. What's your first thing that you do? I mean, how does this investigation start?
Well, the first thing we do is, you know, it's important that, you know, everybody should have some sort of a belief system. And that, you know, I'm not saying, you know, even if you're a skeptic, you should still have some belief that's something higher than you.
Sorry.
That, you know, you kind of set the mood and the setting of prayer, and so to speak, to try to keep yourself safe and protecting those around you, because you really don't know what you're walking into before you start any part of, you know, questioning or research or walkthrough and so forth. So we kind of just create a protective bubble, if you will. I know it sounds silly. Sometimes people think if you're just talking out loud to yourself or in your mind, who's listening, who's there to protect you, but there are things around us we can't explain, and we are being guided and we are protected by those before us and guided. It's just if we're awake to follow and pay attention to the signs. So that's the first thing.
Well, if we leave our DNA by just touching something, then we have to leave something with our souls as well. You know, so to pick up, I think it's probably, like you say, everywhere. And you just pick it up if you're aware, maybe, or I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, just think about it. We're living beings. We leave imprints and footprints, and that's just the way it is. And some areas are just more of that, if you will, than other areas. And in those areas that have something going on, you know, who was there before? Was it a violent situation? Were they violent? You know, was it peaceful? You know, it's just so many different unknown variables.
Well, working around animals like we do in such close proximity, you really look at a different, you see a different, I don't know, existence maybe in a different place than what we humans do, I think. They go more on intuition, and they see a lot more than we ever give them credit for, in my opinion. Nobody asked.
And, you know, it would be great if they could talk to us and tell us, you know, if we had, if somebody could invent a voice recorder so that, you know, we always think, what is the dog trying to say? Why is the cat giving me that look? You know, it's like just the communication, but they have to go on, like you said, their intuition more so than us, even though we're also animals to some degree also, you know, but the point is we can talk, we can communicate.
We just talk.
Their communication comes from,
I think that we of course we're animals in a way, of course.
Right.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Some more than others.
And we've lost, I think we've lost the best parts of that, our intuition and our sense of paying attention more than we do now.
Yeah.
I mean, be gracious.
Well,
I agree.
I've always said that we ignore a lot of our senses. For instance, telepathy. People aren't aware of that. You know, the best example I could always give is if a married couple is driving in a car and they're thinking about the same thing, not knowing they are, until one starts to talk about it. Oh, I was just thinking about that same thing.
I was thinking the same
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And,
well, you know, the thing that we've been practicing a lot lately, we've been bouncing off each other's ESP, right? So, you know, I'll sit there and I'll be, you know, I have a two-year-old as well. So we have five teenagers, then we have the two-year-old. So we're very all over the place. And it's like, you know, so you don't know if you're coming or going. I said, I call myself a mombie. I'm half zombie, half mom. And so I'll be in the shower and I'm clock watching my time with the little one, you know, and the kids are in school and what might I have to do for the day. And I'll guess the time. So I do this as a mental exercise every day. I always try to guess the time. And then I look at my phone. And I say, oh, 1 minute off, you know, or, oh, I got it. Or, oh, I was way off.
Yeah. Keeps you in that
mental
moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that before.
But if you project and you see it, what was that?
Yeah. I said, I've done that before, but I didn't realize I was actually doing an exercise. I just think about it. Oh, I bet it's about a quarter to four. And I'll walk in the
kitchen. There's a connection. If you're trying to project and see what ahead, like one of the kids will come home and, she, you know, one of our daughters will say, guess what I got on my test? Because we have a lot of the kids doing it, you know. They don't always remember, but sometimes they do. Like, oh, guess what I got, Mom? And I'm like, 89. No. I'm like, ooh, 73? 75?
Well, you expect a higher grade.
Yeah. I'll give you an extra 5 points. Tell your teacher it was an ESP bonus thing, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah, you have to practice. You have to be – the whole point of the art of mindfulness, which came out not so long ago, you can see it a lot online now with social media, is mindfulness and awareness can be a form of meditation, but that's all part of the paranormal. If you're going – you have to be a spiritual being. You really need to embrace all of it and wear your skeptic hat as well as your believer hat and everything in between, because that's really what we're dealing with. You know, some lean one way or the other, and that's fine, but I feel that it's just too extreme for something that's still unknown variables. So when you practice your mindfulness of your environment, your situation, what mood are you in that day? So before, if you go on an investigation, how are you feeling? What happened? You know, a lot of that affects a lot of it, you know. So we
bring
something. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think also we could project into an environment and create it to where maybe it is haunted. Do you know what I mean? So it starts from us, and then how we proceed. Just like when we get up during the day, what kind of day are we going to have? You know, if we didn't have a good night, are we going to get up and then continue that day that way? Are we going to try to be, I'm thankful that I'm alive. I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm thankful for all this.
Yes.
And then you change your perspective. Mm-hmm.
So people just basically need to just become more aware of their environment, more aware of what's around. That's one of my biggest faults. But that's what they think.
Well, I don't know. We dealt with something years ago. Larry had a pet shop.
Oh, yeah.
And there was someone there, and he was there.
Oh, it was.
We got used to him. We did.
Well, before we had the pet shop in this building, there was a sign painter that worked there, and he died of alcoholism. Basically, died in the basement. They found him a couple days after the fact. So, and he continued to get mail and stuff, but
for years,
and you could not walk in that building where you didn't feel something was tapping you on the shoulder. We had a friend that came in, brought his talking parrot, and so he left it in that particular building one night. And this is really weird, Alexandra. The bird the next day started talking Spanish.
No, it's French.
It was French.
Oh, my gosh.
And he didn't teach it any French.
No.
You know what the bird's thinking? These humans, they leave me here overnight. They didn't know it was haunted. The next day, now I got to learn another language. What is this?
What is this? Well, you know, at one point, while I was in there, guys were doing a program, and at that time, it was in a paper, and I was reading the paper, and a friend was walking, a guy that worked with Larry was walking out, and he stopped, and he said, wait for a minute, you know, and he went on, and when he did, all of a sudden, I felt like somebody was, I'm pretty short, and I felt like somebody had put their hand on my shoulder, and was looking over my shoulder, reading whatever I was reading, right, and then this crazy song came in my head. And we left the room. And as we're leaving the room, the man says to me, Larry's friend said, he goes, you know, because I almost didn't leave you in there. He said, because when I'm working there alone a lot of times, I feel like something's looking over my shoulder. And needless to say, I was like, well, that's not funny. That's not funny. And so, you know, again, there he was.
Well, yeah, he used to move tools around instead of hammer down and move it clear across the other side of the room. I was working there one night, just beating on the floor from the basement.
Airbrushing.
Yeah, I was using a compressor. Yeah, and also it felt like somebody's beating on the floor underneath us. So I ain't no darn ghost hunter. I just turned off the air compressor and all the dang lights, and I got the heck out of there because I had no interest in it.
Well, have you been drinking a lot? You're not real happy about a lot of boys upstairs, you know, especially.
Oh, that's right. The ghost still drinking. That's the concept.
Well,
I
mean, if his issue was alcoholism, he passed from that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, his issues.
Yeah, he's connecting to it from where he is, like thinking, Well, you know, they'll do that too for your attention, or because they're not settled and they can't move past what happened, regrets. You know, life lessons, that whole thing. And sometimes, you know, if you come into their space and you change it, they don't like it, they'll move things around, or they'll, you know, open up the cabinets or things like that. They just are fussy, and they're stuck in that state of mind, so to speak. And so they kind of act out a bit.
Well, the weirdest thing was, which is Larry's story, but all began it. That's terrible. There was a time that they had the pythons that they had in the giant place that they kept in the pit, they called it, and they had a fire, but it was somehow, some way, the firemen in the area, you know, knew about it. So we always felt like he kind of watched after the animals and the that were there at the shop.
I don't know. He could just go ahead and move on, as far as I was concerned, because I couldn't go in there after dark and not get creeped out.
Larry's like, yeah, that's okay. We don't have to have that. You go your way, I go my way.
Yeah, you can hang out here. Now, when we close this place down or close up for the evening, you have at it. But if I'm in there with these lights on, you just stay in the basement and leave me alone, because that's like.
I still remember the song, the Elf song. One last kiss, old baby.
Oh, now that's really creepy. Now you creep me out completely.
When I felt like someone was looking over my shoulder.
You thought of Elvis?
No, song came in my head.
Oh, wow. So
You don't get it.
Yeah.
He doesn't get it.
I'm just not sensitive.
Well, we were visiting. We had family out in Long Island and New York. So in the eastern end of Long Island, they refer to the Hamptons as like Sag Harbor, East Hampton, Southampton. It's very, very she part of Long Island. But we had gone out to stay at my mother's friend's house to get some, you know, vacation beach time because, you know, we have a whole tribe here. So I think they took pity on us. Anyway, we survived the car ride for 3 hours. So that's a plus. I would have rather seen a ghost. That would have been fine. So, so we had gotten to her house, and you know, I know a little bit on the history in the house that you know there had been, a fire, and they had rebuilt an addition to the house, and it's a very interesting house, and these houses are very nice, and they're set off and very private, and so it's really nice, and to be there, and so you don't think anything of it, and you know, I remember going down into the basement, which is nice, you know, it was finished for what it was, and there was an extra bathroom down there. Like I said, there's a tribe, so every bathroom is available, you know it'll be occupied. So, but going down there, and I remember two of the girls came up, and they said, it's really creepy down there. We heard some noises, so we came back up, and I was like, oh, that's just great. We just got here. I'm exhausted. There is no way we're leaving. I said, no. Like, that's just perfect. Like, no matter where we go, there's always something, you know. So, and I had gone down there, and I definitely felt it wasn't pleasant. It seemed like a darker presence. And so I had spoken to my mom's friend who owned the house at the time, and she was saying, oh, yeah, there was a fire here. I said, yeah, I remember you saying that, but what happened? She was like, well, there was a man that was fell asleep. He was, you know, an alcoholic. He had no job, nothing, very depressed.
Yeah.
And apparently fell asleep and had caused the fire, and he had died. So I said, here, he died. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, fantastic. So can I have that wine now? Because I'm going to need it.
Yeah.
Alcohol, please. I'm going ghost hunting.
Thank you.
Just leave the bottle and a straw. Everybody else, fend for yourselves.
Go on now.
Yeah.
Leave me
to
it.
That should be the main ingredient in the supplies you take on a ghost hunt, alcohol.
That would work.
Well, I may have mentioned this before, but I can't recall that we have Indian burial mounds on our property.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh!
Yeah. And we are flanked on one end, both ends of our street with funerals. Or, I'm sorry,
cemetery. Yeah.
Oh, but, it's a very interesting area.
But
that's active.
But the feng shui, we have water everywhere, so feng shui is not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, in broad daylight one time, I was in our woods and I could still see one of our buildings. And I looked over there and I saw a young lady with long black hair and dressed in denim and blue jeans. And I thought, oh, we got company. I better head back to the house. So I go through the woods, up and down the ravine, get home and walk in the house. And says, who's here? And Cheryl says, there's nobody here but me. I said, no, there's a young lady that was standing right over there by the one building we keep all the reptiles in.
Well, that's not discerning.
And and that was in broad daylight. I saw that. I can still remember.
And that's the thing. Just because everything is always spookier at night, you know, when the sun goes down and the whole thing, 3 a.m. But it doesn't matter if, you know, a lot of people are always, like, surprised, and I would be, too, clearly, you know, you see apparitions. I mean, I've seen them growing up as a kid in my apartment walking by me, and I'm watching, you know, Scooby-Doo, it's 3:30, and I'm home from school eating. So, like, that's great. There goes an arm and a leg and maybe a chicken wing that just walked by me. But when you see them, you know, you just do a double take, like, and a lot, like what you just described, a lot of times they're fuller body apparitions in that moment, and it looks like a person, and you're just like, oh, okay, and it plays with your mind, because they're not there physically, so then they're gone, it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I won't be telling anyone about that,
Right. It's just think I'm crazy.
Well, they know we're crazy, though.
My gosh. Well, it definitely is this may not have been such a great idea, but a friend of mine, well, we went over to the Indian Barrel Mounds. I run the spy, Alexander, and we were going to do a little excavation. And for some reason,
I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah, we take shovels over there, do our own little archaeological work, and then we didn't even.
Why? Is this stupid?
We're just about ready to dig that first hole, and some of the things says, no, this is not cool. It'll be at our house. They'll be knocking on the darn door. This is not cool. So yeah.
We have Native American friends.
Yeah, we have Native American friends that identify to the mound.
Yeah,
so.
They definitely gave us that poo-poo.
Yeah, we asked to stay too long because it might bring a bunch of those Native American spirits up to the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. God. Well, you could have a party. You know, I think they'd appreciate that. I mean, it's been a long time since they passed the peace pipe, for Pete's sake. So they might feel the need to, like, yeah. Don't forget, a lot of times, too, it's the connections.
Yeah.
What?
The thing is, our land is, we just keep it for the animals. And
yeah,
of course.
We don't develop or.
Yeah. It's
not that we have millions of acres.
It's still wild and everything.
Yeah.
But there
Which is nice.
It is nice, and we don't go back there much, especially after dark, especially around them darn Indian burial mounds.
See, that's what I'm saying.
There.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I probably, if I'd have to wear a lot of headgear with lights and strap me on with the padding with lights, and let's just, you know, bring out the lights because...
Come on out.
Come on. How much sage do we need on a deal like that? That's what I want to know.
You would probably need quite a bit.
Small bundle.
Yeah, do you keep that around the house by the bushel or something?
You're supposed to. I know. We have a friend of ours that actually makes their own and you know, ties it up, and it looks like dried flowers almost. It's really quite lovely. There's all sorts of things, you know. I know they have a lot of books out now and online of how to protection spells and keeping, you know, love and light and the whole thing in and anything negative out. And but I'm a big believer in just having faith and being strong internally that way. And no matter anything that we could have, you know, with cleansings and so forth and what goes with it, I still believe we are the best tools in order to try to be in control of a situation and try to keep away negativity and evil, because I feel like we're open, you know, souls.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why a lot of people in life are so guarded, because they've been hurt through different parts of their life, very bad hardships and so forth. And it's very hard for them to find their way out of it, to find any goodness. And they're, to me, more of a target than somebody who's had a more happier life with less chaos. Do you know what I mean? So I think we all have different things going on throughout our lives at different points. We come from different backgrounds. Some run parallel, but we all are in the same game together here. And I think if we just take control with our inner beings and ourselves to say, listen, I'm here. They're not of the physical anymore. I'm in control. Gosh darn it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
In most, I mean, I know there's cases where there's with poltergeist activity and stronger entities, quote unquote. But yet again, a lot of it's what you see in the movies. Is, you know, I mean, there's moments, absolutely, and there are cases, but it's not something that's taking over the world. You know, we're not being overrun by demonic activity. I think there are parts of this world that are very negative and dark, and things have happened in certain areas, and that's going to be an obvious given. Bad stuff might happen here, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, but sometimes I think the humans that are around now are almost scarier than the spirits in a way.
It's always that way. It's always, you know, more afraid of people than actual those that have,
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you right now, just go to Walmart and you'll see all the scary people you need to see.
Yeah, you know what the beautiful thing is now? Like I do the grocery shopping there, and you have an app on your phone and stuff, and they track you. They don't charge you for anything, just for what you purchase. I do that because I refuse to go in there. I don't know if I'll ever get out alive. And then you know what's going to happen in the papers? Holes are found somewhere in Walmart. We just don't know where yet. To be continued. Dot dot dot. Maybe in the Halloween section.
What's always interesting when you live in a college town as well, we do. And so to add the college students, I guess.
Students,
I should say,
yeah, right.
With the Wally World.
Fauna.
Yes. It makes it more fun, I promise.
It's over. Gosh, I know why you do so well with it, Alex. You have such a nice spirit. I mean, gosh, if my house is crawling and ghosts and she showed up, I'd be very comforted immediately.
But she could take them with.
And I'd ask her that. I said, you got something? You can put them all in. Just take them out this door so they can move on to.
And she'd tell you, it's not Ghostbusters.
But thanks so much for being on the show. I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you for having me. You're both such lovely souls, and it's my pleasure. So,
well, we'll say a big hello to Shelly Leibowitz. He's our underwriter now for our program.
Oh, really? Aw, he's so lovely, too. I haven't spoken to him in a while, but I always wish him well.
He's amazing.
Well, Cheryl says there's cool, then there's Shelly Leibowitz. Cool.
No. You may think you're cool, but you will never be Shelly Leibowitz cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Alexander. We'll have to do this again.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful, marvelous, you should care for me. Awful nights, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the bells go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging, sure he's mellow, glad that I'm a fella, and I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet, have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love, I'm through with flirting, it's you that I'm thinking of, ain't misbehaving, say. Take me, hey, train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in all.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
God bless Shelly Leibowitz and SRI Records. They are underwriter here for Animal Tracks on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out our other show, Wild World, with my co-host, Dr. Henry Day.
Henry.
And that's every Sunday at 3 o'clock, and we have wonderful guests. Wonderful guests. And also, be sure you can go back to the archives of all of our shows we've done. I think it's getting close to Cheryl. It's almost hard to believe. We've done almost 190 shows on Blog Talk Radio.
You need to get
a hobby. I need to get a hobby. Yeah. This is a hobby, yeah. So, and also I'd like to tell everyone, check out our Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, and also our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tell us all about our wildlife lectures that we do, some of the stuff we sell, like artwork. Oh, and coming out soon will be Cheryl's Doodles, you know. Beautiful new book, so we're going to be doing that.
What?
I just thought of that. You should do a beautiful book of doodles, because look at that. That's beautiful.
You're crazy.
I'm not. Anyway.
Idle hands, see? You have to keep busy. Idle hands are the devil's workplace.
Idle hands are the devil's workplace. And you know what? Who they told that to? So he learned to play the piano? It's Ray Charles.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they told me. That's what happened.
Okay.
Wearing the face that she keeps in her jaw by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? No.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. That's the man, Shelley Leibowitz. We love us. Oh, my gosh. And the Ray Charles Eleanor Rigby. That's all part of the SRI label catalog, srirecords.com. Check it out. I mean, because there's somebody...
Because it's a class act.
It is a class act. The whole deal
is.
The
music is crazy good.
And I have been told, not by Shelley, but that the jazz section is probably the best jazz section of music available online. Yeah, Asher Ben Ruby sings. Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
So you need to check it out. You know, one of his artists, Cheryl didn't have a chance to hear the show with Dr. Day and I. We had Richie Garcia. And see, we really screwed this up because what happened is we knew his flight was coming in and he was going to call us from the airport.
Yeah.
Well, he just got back from England. He'd been playing with, who did he play? Sting, I think. He's a percussionist. Yeah, he's a percussionist, Richie Garcia. And he's getting ready to get back to fly in.
Google it.
Yeah, Google it. And he's on the Phil Collins tour. But anyway, it was pretty wacky because he called from the airline bus And he said all the other people on the bus didn't want to hear about his biography. So maybe I should call him at another time. So it was.
But the funny thing is, his name probably would have. It'd probably be more interesting with just riding on the bus.
Yeah, they're riding on the bus with Richie Garcia, conga player for Phil Collins and Sting and Mariah Carey.
It'd be cool to hear that on the bus.
Yeah, because you know he probably
he
had one.
Himself more.
He should. So we'll listen to some Richie Garcia.
Cool.
On Animal Tracks, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Keep up with that. Dance to that song. You'll weigh about. Never mind. We're going to do the book because I'm watching your doodles right now. Those are really good. That's very cool, these doodles. We're going to do it now. You screwed yourself because now you're going to have to draw it. Then you'll have to color.
You're kind of bossy.
I am bossy.
Have you ever noticed that?
Because I'm seeing this and then I'm thinking,
ugly as all get out.
It is not. It's beautiful.
Just
beautiful. Well, what a great show. Alexander Holzer. You know what Shelley said the first time we scheduled her as a guest on the old show, and this has been 5 or 6 years ago, she will creep you out. No, I mean, she will creep you. Never mind.
Yeah,
my Shelley Leibowitz invitation. God, we love
it. I liked it.
You did?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Well, good. You know.
I don't like watching scary movies, but I'll talk about scary stuff.
Well, that's true. Yeah. The new scary movies are too graphic. I like the old one. Yeah, the Wolfman, Frankenstein, Dracula. They were almost like superheroes versus monsters. You know what I'm saying?
Scary
superheroes. Yeah.
We love it.
We're going to finish up the show.
It's trick-or-treat time.
And it's trick-or-treat time. You know what was scary now that I think about this? Remember the flying monkeys in The Wizard of Oz?
Oh, yeah. We have a flying
monkey. Well, we do have a flying monkey. The flying monkey. Here's Kiki Epson to finish out her show from The Wizard of Oz.
That's very cool.
Yeah, if I only had a brain. Good night.
You know, I sing that going through Walmart.
Do you do? Mm-hmm. You ever sing when I'm with you? Well, that's really good. You can sing with Kiki. I'm sure she wouldn't mind.
I'm sure she would.
Oh, by the way, she had a very successful show last weekend in L.A. A tribute to her dad, Buddy Epson.
Very cool.
It's very, very cool. Yeah, it got great reviews. I read all about it. I did. I'm not lying.
He does read.
I do read. Kiki Epson, if I only had a brain, good night. See ya. Talk to you next week on Blog Talk Radio on Animal Track. Tell them goodbye, Cheryl.
Goodbye, Cheryl. I mean, goodbye, guys.
I can't wait. just a nothing. My head all full of stuffing. My heart all full of pain. And perhaps I deserve you and be even worthy of you if I only had a brain. If I only had a brain. Oh, if I only had a brain. If I only had a brain. time we got to Woodstock, we were half a million strong, and everywhere there was a song of celebration. A dream saw the bombers riding shotgun across the sky.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz, and you're listening to my friends Cheryl and Larry Batson on Animal Tracks here on Blog Talk Radio.